Congressman John Lewis is our guest on the Paula Gordon Show. Bill Russell and I are here with him and others at the Commerce Club. One of the big ideas that you helped me think more about was the Gandhian idea, and it is not irrelevant that this idea has been brewing throughout history but came back to us through India, a radically different culture. The idea of nonviolence, of taking, but it's not just nonviolence, it's nonviolent action. I was very struck that one of the things you made incredibly clear was that it was very important not to have losers, that everybody needed to win, that it might, you might need to retreat, but neither you as the actors nor the people that you were helping to change in their lives, that nobody needed to lose. Isn't that part of what you and Bill were talking about, not needing to demonize people?
Well, it is important to give every human being a great sense of self-worth. If you accept the idea that in every human being there is a spark of divinity.
Call it what you will.
Call it what you may. For me, I say it's a spark of the divine. That you have to say, simply because a guy is bad or mean, whether it's a Bull Connor or a Sheriff Clark, he's a human being. And we were not out to destroy any person. We were out to redeem, to win over. Because we saw these individuals as victims of customs, tradition, and an evil system called segregation and racial discrimination. So we were not out to demean anyone. And today, I think it's much more freeing and liberating to see some of these individuals that now have changed and walking a different path with different attitudes. Because you accept nonviolence not simply as a technique or as a tactic, but as a way of life, as a way of living. So it's not just not hitting someone back or striking back, but it's also attitude. It's the way you think.
You talk about it being a place, that there is a sense of centeredness, that it's almost physical once one has really understood this concept of not engaging in violence, of not succumbing to the fears that are so human. It's almost a physical feeling that you go to this place where you can be unfearful, that you can be peaceful. Does it feel that way inside of you? John Lewis, of all people in the world, you have faced more fear and more violence than any of the rest of us will ever see. But I have a sense that there is a place in you to which you go that is this nonviolent idea.
Well, Paula, someplace along the way, I don't know where, I made up my mind not to become bitter, not to become hostile. And many of my colleagues ask me from time to time, are you hostile? Or don't you feel strange towards some of the people who did what they... I feel so at peace with myself. I don't have malice or ill feeling toward a single human being. I may not like something that is the truth. I may not like some of the things that some people say. And I can stand up and come across with a sense of righteous indignation. And sometimes people say, you don't smile enough. It doesn't mean that I'm mad. It doesn't mean that I'm angry. I'm just thinking.
Reconciliation and redemption. You are a congressman. And those are not
some
words.
Some people say that.
You are my congressman.
Those words do not just sort of roll off the tongue when people are typically describing Congress. And increasingly there is a sense that Congress has become more unforgiving, irredeemable. The politics that is electoral politics and what Congress needs to be doing and what you're trying to do, how do you bring that together? How can one person influence an institution?
In the Congress today, several of us, Democrats and Republicans, conservatives and liberals, been getting together over a meal in our home, in a little office, in a little hotter way, and been talking about the issue of race. I've been going to some of the most conservative places in America, crossing the aisle to meet with some of my colleagues. We may vote different, But I went out to Michigan. I went down to Savannah. In a few days, I'm going to two or three other parts of the country. I think it's important to help educate, to help sensitize, and for us to get to know each other better, to deal with the question of race, to bring people together.
Isn't that what you've been doing all your life?
Well, it is what I've been doing, and I think I can do it now on another level. It's not a piece of legislation that we can pass, but it's discussion. It is dialogue. It is reconciling people to each other.
It's engagement, isn't it? I mean, you've got it's living with people.
It is engagement. And it's very much in keeping with the philosophy and the discipline of nonviolence, really.
Say more. Tie those together.
Well.
And remember, we're talking about Congress.
I asked that to some of my younger colleagues in the Congress. When they become so strident on certain issues, I said, you're too young. You don't understand. Come and
John
walk in my
Lewis,
shoes.
Do you really?
I really said. I like
you're the one who is among those young ones who changed America, and you're saying they're too young.
Yeah, I said they don't. Many young people today have no sense of contemporary history. They don't know and understand what people did by working and building together. And I said, come, spend some time here. Watch this, read this.
It's very important to talk about the young because, as you reminded us yet again, it is the young who carry our future. It's also the young who changed our past. And perhaps that will continue to happen in Congress, but when you and your colleagues, who eventually formed the organization of SNCC, but you and your colleagues, both the older ones whom you were challenging and the younger ones of whom you were surely a leader, the very energy and the unconnectedness of your youth had to be an advantage. Where are our young ones now?
Well, I said from time to time that young people are too quiet. They're just too quiet. They're too passive. And I don't mean in a bad sense of the word. They need to make some noise. You know, there's nothing wrong with agitating for the right thing. Saying and demanding of the country that we do more in education. Spend more money on education, not more money on missiles and bombs and guns. We have enough bombs and missiles to destroy this planet more than once. So young people should be up in arms. Let's save the planet. Let's clean up the environment. People have a right to know what is in the water they drink, what is in the food we eat, what is in the air we breathe. Let young people rise up and say something about health care. Looking out for our senior citizen, looking out for the needy, for the disabled. I just think as we move toward the 21st century, people in America, and especially the young, are too quiet. We had time on our hand.
Yeah,
we didn't have responsibility. We didn't have a mortgage. No. We didn't have to pay rent. And we were free. We went off to get an education. But we not only got an education in the classroom, received an education in the streets. And some of us were forced to grow up. I grew up sitting in at a lunch counter. I grew
you
up studying.
Literally.
I literally grew up when someone walked by and put a mic in my face and said, "Why are you sitting in?" I had to respond. "Why are you marching for the right to vote?" I had to respond.
And the answer was?
I had to say, because it's not in what is going on, it's not in keeping with my faith. It's not in keeping with the Bill of Rights. It's not in keeping with the Declaration of Independence. It's not in keeping with the Constitution. And that's why we are here to enhance the dignity of humankind.
And you can you are continuing to do that. I'm hearing a consistency that's subtle. You've always been more active than rhetorical. You would rather do things than talk about them.
But you
is
know,
that right?
I think that is very much the case. You know, we had this old saying, you got to do more than talk the talk. You got to walk the walk.
Yeah.
And that we have people that are very good talkers, they're very good speakers, but when it comes down
to getting now, the job done.
To the job. To rolling up the sleeves and doing the work. Many run the other way.
What makes me think of that is you're talking about these little meetings that you're having around the country with your colleagues in Congress, and the rhetorical view, the public view, the media presentation, which tends to reflect the rhetoric, makes it look terrible. And what you're saying is there is work being done behind the scenes that is not rhetorical, but dealing with just little pieces, one person at a time, one issue at a time. This sounds optimistic.
In recent days, I've gone out to places and set up meetings, bringing people together, getting people to talk, to speak to each other, who live in different parts of a city, or maybe where two cities are right together and divided by a river. And sometimes people would never cross that river, cross that bridge. So one thing that I've been about during the past few years is to build bridges of understanding, bridges of reconciliation, and I think that's what we must continue to do.
If there is any person in America alive whose very life testifies to the importance of action, it is John Lewis, who is our congressman in the 5th District in Atlanta. We're going to continue this conversation with Congressman John Lewis, whose stunning book, Walking with the Wind, tells the story of his life. Bill Russell and I are with him at the Commerce Club with invited guests, and we're going to be back shortly. There's a great deal more to be said.